Welcome back to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I'm excited today to be here with Ed Foss. Ed is the head of our compliance team. We're going to talk today with Ed a little bit about how you can create a healthy culture in a culture of compliance. Ed, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
It's great to have you with us. Before we jump in, I'd like to maybe have you talk a little bit about your background and what led you into compliance.
So my background started in college. I graduated with an accounting degree and started off in accounting and was in accounting for 2 to 3 years and had an opportunity to join a financial firm in Pittsburgh. And not knowing anything about it, was a broker-dealer that was just started with investments and they weren't really up to date with the investments at that point. So I got brought into the company and I started from the ground floor, which was very beneficial in this industry and had to learn it as I went. And so I was with this firm for about 12 years. I was also a producer with the firm as well, which helped me understand what our advisors do on a daily basis, which kind of helped when we were moving into the compliance part as well. So at about 4 or 5 years ago, we moved to North Carolina. And I went the corporate route and went with MetLife, where it was a little different because the compliance sections, everything was sectioned out. So your own lane instead of what we're used to of doing all compliance. And so I was there. And then we started a startup company with Bright House Financial, which was a product manufacturer. Then I was fortunate enough to meet you, Tim, and this company, and have been here since. So it's been a pleasure and it's been a great find.
Well, the pleasure is mutual and great addition to the team and great leader for our supervisory team. So when you are asked about your role in profession, how do you explain your career to people? You're at a party, you're out at a hockey game with the kids and somebody says, what do? How do you explain what you do?
So for a while there, I used to tell people I was in compliance, but then I was wondering why they didn't talk to me anymore. But I usually don't even use that word. I usually use the word supervision. And to explain the role, I basically explain that our team is a resource that helps advisors by protecting them through risk management. We're basically risk managers. And we help them navigate the regulatory requirement and the policies and procedures that the company puts in place. So basically, at the end of the day, we're basically a protection agency. So that's kind of how I explain the role.
Okay. Now, I was talking to someone yesterday who's not, they're in our profession, but not affiliated with our firm. And their connotation of compliance, like so many people's, is kind of the prevention department. And we'll come back to that because you've done a good job of helping people understand. Again, it's more about risk management. Is there any aspect of the role that you wish your younger self would have known about now that you're in your current leadership position?
One thing is that doing the right thing isn't always popular. And not all decisions are easy, and to learn not to take it personally.
Those are, I think, important elements because doing the right thing sometimes is very hard and unpopular in the short term, but usually, and we'll talk a little bit more about the risk management as a longer term positive tail to it. Yeah, as I mentioned, the word compliance, you said you don't even use that to describe your profession anymore, but you know, has a narrative or a reaction to a lot of people that's either threatening or negative. How have you addressed kind of changing that perspective and kind of creating, again, a culture more of risk management than what I'll say is a negative connotation or threatening compliance?
So what we try to do is we try to explain to the advisors that we're not the police officers sitting on the side of the road that are trying to catch them speeding. Instead, we act as that person of protection, kind of like a bodyguard that protects them and helps them guide them away from the dangers that there are. Just as advisors need to know their client, we try to get to know each and every one of our advisors. And we want to make sure that they understand that we're a resource to help them with their practice. And the more that we collaborate with them, the more the trust builds and the more open they are and understand that we really are a resource for them to help support them in their business.
I think that's what's been unique is the relationship approach you and your team have taken to interact with all the associates in our organization and the advisors. You've mentioned some, but what are some of the elements, Ed, that have made that successful, that relationship approach?
I would say the one word that comes to mind, Tim, is trust. It all comes down to trust and education. Everyone makes mistakes. Most of the time, they're not malicious. And my team regularly consults with our advisors. We help them navigate the regulations, which are always changing, so they can actually focus on their clients' needs. And developing a culture of compliance is not something that happens overnight. And the leadership of this firm has worked very hard developing and maintaining that. And that is one of the things that really helps build trust and relationships with our advisors. So the relationships is what is the key part here. And if they trust you and really understand that we're here to help them, it makes it successful.
Yeah, I think the trust element, which again is a lot of people I have seen, at least in the profession, take the approach of let's keep compliance out of this so they don't know. A lot of transparency in the way you and your team work with people. And again, it's coming from the auspices that everybody's trying to do the right thing and take good care of their clients. And I think that relationship approach works in that environment. We've been fortunate that we have a number of very high quality people that are a part of our organization as well. So they do make it a little bit easier to do that. Maybe a more macro perspective here, Ed, what role do you see compliance and supervision playing as a part of an overall business strategy?
That's a good question. So every business needs to evaluate risk. We support and protect the firm, the advisors, and the clients. And again, to make sure that they're following all the policies, procedures, and regulations that are set forth. And the one thing is, and you mentioned it, Tim, that to be able to collaborate closely with all the other resources in the firm and the inclusion that you have. So we're giving the advisors all the tools that they need to be successful in the business. And the collaboration between all the inclusiveness of the compliance department and the trust that we build with everybody helps the overall business strategy, because we can make decisions based on the risks and stuff that we see in every department and just not in a straight line.
Yeah, I think that risk management piece, again, is often overlooked because you can't have a check-the-box exercise of having a checklist and saying, okay, we got this form, we got that form, we did this, we checked that. It really takes an overall approach of how do you manage the inherent risk of being in the business we're in? How do you navigate the ever-changing, to your point, regulatory environment? Sometimes you've got regulators at a state and federal level that are kind of layering on top of each other different rules. You have run, and your team runs, a very successful supervisory apparatus in a large firm, consistently get high marks, both from the advisors you support and the company that ultimately oversees the work you do. Based on your experiences as a leader and your team, what are some of the things that you advise others to consider doing, or in some cases stop doing, as it relates to building, again, a culture of risk management that views the compliance side, the regulatory side of the business in a more positive light?
So as you said before, there is a negative connotation with the word compliance. And you hear stories of compliance being feared and people trying to keep things away from compliance. The compliance people are coming and so forth. So I believe, again, success in this role is trust. That's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. It's a place where your advisors feel comfortable asking questions and they admit making mistakes and they want the guidance and they want the help. So my advice would be to provide education, support, and really get to know the advisors that you're supervising. Change is constant, and with new technologies, regulatory requirements, et cetera, our advisors need that support and they need the help. So the more that you can be the support function to them instead of the feared compliance person, the more open they are and the more that you can help them succeed with their business.
Amanda and I did a series of interviews over the summer with some of our advisors that run large practices. And one of the questions we asked them was, what does the firm do for you that provides great value to your practice? And I was both pleasantly surprised and a little taken aback, I'll admit, when two of those advisors said, the compliance team. And I was expecting perhaps this type of case design support or all kinds of different things. And it's, again, testament to what you did. And I said, well, elaborate on that a little bit more, please. That wasn't really the answer I thought you might get me. And both of them said the same thing, and that is that they trust the team they work with, and the team does a good job of helping them inadvertently getting themselves in trouble. So they feel like they're protecting, your team is protecting their practice and ultimately their clients from, again, a very ever-changing regulatory environment. And those are good advisors that have the best of intentions to do the right thing, but they recognize that you can sometimes, if you're not careful in this environment, do something you don't even know is wrong. And again, in some cultures, get hammered for it versus corrected for it.
There was one thing that stuck with me for a while when I first came to the firm. One of the members of our team They said, I want to be the reason why an advisor stays, not the reason why an advisor leaves.
Wow.
And if you stick by that and know that you are the support and you're here as a resource to help your advisors, that's how we manage our relationships.
Yeah. So the theme of this podcast, obviously, is winning through culture. And we're talking about culture, again, in a context that might not seem normal, but it's in a healthy sense. You know, culture is defined as customs, the norms, social institutions, achievements of a particular group of people or social group. How do you manage the push and pull of all the industry regulation, you know, and continue to build the relational capital with people, both your own team and then the advisors, in what is becoming a ever more constricted environment?
So as I said earlier, the only constant is change, and there's going to be changes within the industry, and we must adapt to those and manage to that. So how do we do that? We adapt and adjust as needed, and education. Education in a time of change is paramount. And what really sets us apart is just sitting down and explaining the why. And once people understand the why, it's easier to move forward. And we're not a department that says no, you know that. But it's just trying to get the advisors to understand why this is there, whether they agree with it or not, it's there, and how do we navigate around it? And to help them find other ways to understand, so they understand that we care about their business and we want to help them achieve their level of success. But the most part of it's education and the explanations. Nobody wants to hear the word, no, you can't do that. But if you can tell them why they can't, then they understand better. And again, I'll go back to the word trust. That is one of the biggest items that we have in our department, is earning the trust of our advisors where they will bring us difficult situations to help them with.
Okay. Or it may be, no, you can't do it this way, and you can do it this way. And that, again, that education and helping provide a different perspective. So really, I mean, the relationship aspect of things has been a big contributor to that, obviously. And then again, taking more of a risk management approach versus a you're wrong, I'm here to get you approach. It builds the capital, builds the trust, gives people the confidence, quite frankly, to come to you and ask for input and advice, and certainly find out how to do things the right way the first time versus have to undo them and get them right after the fact. You know, we talked about compliance, Ed, from a risk management perspective. Is there any advice you'd give a leader, business owner, entrepreneur? Again, not everyone's in the profession that we're in that requires the level of intensity of compliance, but what advice would you give to create a culture, in essence, of risk management in a way that you have, you and your team have, where it's seen positively and as an actual ability to enhance one's business?
So as much as I would like to take credit for that from my team, Tim, is the advice I would give is it's a top-down approach to it. So do you just have to ensure that the leaders and all the resources in the firm and staff are all educated on all the compliance requirements and understand the why? Mm-hmm. Our resources play a big role in the compliance culture because they're working alongside the advisors from day to day. And the more that they understand, the more that they can help us with our job. So the more education we provide, the communication, the more it resonates throughout the entire firm. We have newsletters that go out regularly. We have firm update calls that go out regularly. It's constant communication with the advisors, knowing that we're here, knowing that we're here to support them, knowing that we're updating them on all the rules and regulations and policies. So it's just going that extra mile to help, again, build trust with these advisors to help them succeed. And finally, it's just consistent communication from leadership as well. Everybody has to buy into compliance. And once they do, it helps our team tremendously. And you have built a great culture within this firm.
Well, thank you. All right, Ed, this has been a great conversation in a somewhat of an abstract way. One of the things I've been thinking about as we're talking, though, is, and I can think of some situations myself, I'm sure you can, but a situation where everything we've just talked about, building trust, communicating, collaborating, working with the advisor, had a positive outcome in what could have been a not so good situation. Is there any situation, again, we won't talk names, we'll keep the details as high level as possible, but just maybe contextually to help people understand, can you think of a situation where everything we've talked about came into a real life situation that, again, could have gone down a bad path that turned into a, I'll say, a positive outcome.
Fortunately, there's a few of those that I have, but the first one that pops into my mind is an advisor with an outside business activity. And this outside business activity has been around for a few years, even before I came. And when we were reviewing it one day, I noticed that it kind of sort of mended into his business. And we had the conversations of why is it an outside business activity? And of course, outside business activity, there's more freedom, there's less oversight. And we talked about it, and this went on for a little while, but of the why. And of the why it can't be, and the protection that it, we could provide to them if it was actually part of his business activity. And the backing that he would have if anything ever went downhill, or if there was any complaints. So for about 6 months, we submitted all the business and got all the stuff approved, his presentations, all his materials. And within about 3 months came the first complaint, and it came from a seminar. And our attorneys, our legal team, our compliance department, we all worked together in tandem to help him work through this. It ended up not really being a complaint, but without our home office support, without our agency support, our compliance team support, he would have had to go on this on his own. And I can tell you he was very thankful of this. It wasn't an easy decision for him, but every time we talk, he is thankful that we came to this conclusion.
Yeah, interestingly enough, that was the one that I was thinking about as we were having our conversation. And yeah, I remember some of his angst early on about why do we have to do this? And we set it up this way for a reason. And again, I think it just speaks to what we've talked about in this podcast. Your team had the trust. They educated. They were patient. They took the time. They came alongside and helped him. You know, it was a lot of work to get things to the space they were. And again, unfortunately, complaints have become a more common part of our business. Doesn't take much to trigger one. And had he not taken the advice and counsel of you and your team, to your point, he would have been flying on his own in that one, and it would have been a pretty sticky situation. So I think it's a great example of building a healthy compliance culture through, again, trust, collaboration, relationship, and communication can ultimately have a great outcome. So kudos to you and your team for that.
Thank you. Sometimes a little work goes a long way.
Yes, it does. And it's a good story. So I appreciate you sharing it and giving us some context as to how all that can come together in a positive way. Thank you for being a guest today. Again, I really was interested in having this conversation, again, tying culture into a topic that some people cringe at. And I appreciate, again, the risk management approach to compliance, and appreciate the opportunity to kind of talk about how a culture of appropriate risk management and compliance can be built in a healthy way. So, Ed, thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Tim.